You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Rael. I first met Jackie last summer, and we hit it off famously while working on a photo shoot. Shortly after that, I got to hear the album that she and her music partner Aaron made together, which is called Silver and Gold. It's one of those albums that you could hear the craftsmanship all throughout, both in the instrumentation and the vocals. I linked up with the two of them at Aaron's home studio in Astoria to hear the story of how their album came to be. This is the 405 Exchange with Rael. Enjoy. Grab the wheel from the night. You know that I will stay. You know that I will stay. Go silver and gold. Go silver and gold. Go silver and gold. You know, it's always great to start at the beginning, so let's jump back there. How did the two of you meet?
So Aaron and I met with my first band called Strip Darling. It was an indie pop band, and we were together for like 10 years. It was like so long, and we finally decided to make a record. And so we were introduced to Aaron by Randy Merrill, who's a mastering engineer, and he was like, oh, Aaron would be perfect for you guys because he's good with working with bands. And we were a band that really couldn't play our instruments very well, so I think it was a helpful partnership at that time. So that's how we met.
That's amazing. And like Aaron, yeah. Do you remember what your first impression was when you met her?
Actually, it was funny because Jackie came by the studio with another producer engineer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and so the idea originally was just that we would work on like a couple of songs together, and you're going to work on the rest of the record with her.
Yeah.
And we got on, and I was like, well, I think it'd be useful if I come, like, send me some stuff, of course, but then I said, you know, maybe I should come to some rehearsals instead of work with you on the music.
Yeah.
Since it sounds like maybe we should work on the arrangements before we get in the studio. So, you know, I came to rehearsal, and we worked on a couple of songs, and then you guys called me and were like, we kind of want you to do
the whole record.
Yeah, was it even like half the record?
Yeah.
And then we went and recorded like half the record, and then you guys were like, actually, let's just do the whole record together. And
it was kind of
the vibe worked with everybody, I think, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Nice. And what do you think it was that surprised you about each other, like when you started working with each other in a musical sense?
I just love Aaron's aesthetic, so I think, like, he understands sonically what I want to hear from like piece of music. So, and I think what I bring to the table is like the lyrics and, you know, occasionally some melody ideas.
A lot of great melodic ideas. I mean, I think what was fun for me, especially with the Strip Darling record, was the fact that everybody in the band was totally cool with direction. Because a lot of time, you know, sometimes you work with bands and people get like really precious about ideas, or they don't, like, they say they want production but they don't really.
Yeah.
Which is fine too, that's always a totally valid way of working as well, but everybody in the band was totally cool with like reimagining song forms and guitar parts and keyboard parts and backing vocals, and everything was up for grabs, which is really fun as a producer to be able to, you know, help people maybe realize visions they didn't even know they had.
Yeah.
And so then that was, I think, one of the sort of freest, funnest parts of the experience for me, working with these guys and Jackie, of course. And so then when we discussed doing some more stuff, when, you know, Jackie wanted to do more solo stuff, I was like, of course, because, you know, the relationship is so open and free and creative that we can kind of just go for anything, really, I felt like.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, actually. Like, the songs for Strip Darling were one way, and then we went into the studio and we were like, why don't we just totally redo everything?
Yeah.
And so we redid everything.
Yeah, I mean, if something worked, but then a lot of time it was like, okay, yeah. I was like, why is it like this? Oh, it's because the way you play it, which is a typical band thing, and like, we just do it this way because we figured out how to do it this way. And it's like, well, let's maybe, doesn't need to go there, you know, the typical production sort of things, like asking the questions about the song and seeing if you can make them better.
Yeah, let's jump into this album that you guys made recently. Like, when did the creation of the album start?
2015.
Yeah, 2015, yeah, summer.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we took like 2 weeks and we just like pulled ourselves up here.
Yeah.
And we wrote, I think, about 4 or 5 of the songs on the record. And then basically we went back to reality of like work and just trying to meet up whenever we could, and then we wrote the rest of the record throughout the rest of that year.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then into 2016 too.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's incredible. And like, what would you say was a big thing about, I mean, do you feel like there was a significant way the album evolved as it that time progressed? Like, I imagine when you started working on it, there was probably like a core idea of what you probably want the album to be.
Yeah.
But over time that changed. What do you feel was that change that probably happened in the middle?
It was definitely like politics. You know, I think originally it was like a record only about like growing up and youth and like the mistakes that you make. And at least that's what it was for me from a lyrical standpoint. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we were in the worst presidential election ever. And so a few of our songs took a more political undertone. So it definitely has like different stories for sure.
You know, it's interesting sometimes hearing people talk about that duality between personal and political, because I think a lot of people like to feel like you could separate the two, but in a lot of ways, your politics do inform your personal life in so many different facets.
Totally. I think it was so upsetting for us. We were like, oh my God, like, how could, this is not the world we want to live in, you know? So we have to respond to this. And I think it just came out in the music, and it just so happened to be like right at the end of the time that we were wrapping up the record. So just, you know, any of the songs that we were like rediscovering lyrically, we were like, okay, you know, maybe it should be with a hint of this.
Yeah, someone did get darker, didn't they?
Yeah. Does the totally. Music, in a way, not the music, but I guess, does that, would you say that experience of having the music to return to, like, you know, when you're going through your day-to-day at work or to a market or whatever, or the gym, and you have all these politics in your face, is it, like, kind of feel like a bit of a release when you get to come into this room and, like, work together?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, it's one of those things that, since my job is engineering and producing records for other people, and to have your own project, to come in with Jackie and just have that again, the sense of freedom, I guess, is the thing I keep on coming back to just be creative and try things out and know that nobody's judging you for that.
Yeah.
And just the collaborative thing of, is this any good? You know,
yeah.
So, you know, it's a good way of like having this room as a space to like, to escape from everything else and just feel like, let's just try some stuff out and there's no pressure.
Yeah.
If it's good, it's good. If it's not, doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's a really important part of life for anybody in the creative, you know, worlds.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, you just want to try painting something and have no pressure to, like, make the best piece of art, or, you know, it's, I think the most important thing is, for me in this project, is just the fact of being creative.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like, you know, maybe there's some ways of communicating some different things to other people.
Yeah, I'm curious in regards for you, because you just brought it up, like, engineering and producing other people's projects. Do you feel like when it came, do you feel like the way you would work with others kind of informs how you would tackle this, or the other way around? Like,
absolutely. I feel like, well, I mean, everything you do adds up to more information or skill sets or all those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
So every project I do outside of this project is going to bring new things to this project, and vice versa, for sure, 100%. You know, so I might, somebody might have a, you know, a really cool way to approach lyrics that may just stick in my head some way, and I might suggest something to Jackie, or maybe I'll hear a synth sound that is really inspiring, or, you know, the energy of a jazz band that they're doing something cool harmonically that might be like, oh, that's really cool, maybe we can steal that, you know. It's all about morphing between different worlds.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm particularly curious about the theme of the lyrics, because there are many elements of storytelling that I found within the album when I was listening to it, but it still felt quite rooted within personal experiences, and I wonder if you could walk me through that contrast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I usually write from personal experience. So, you know, one of the songs, Take Another, is about a friend of mine, a really close friend. Her name's Sarah, and she came to me one day and she was like, I have this disease called sudden death syndrome. I was like, what? Like,
that's an actual name for a disease?
Yeah, I guess babies have it more frequently, but they do find it in adults. I had actually introduced her to like my general practitioner, so my general practitioner was the one who found it, so she came to me and told me about it, and it's just like stuck with me, and I was like, oh my God, just the thought of someone being able to just like die, like their heart to stop right at that moment, like just really scared the shit out of me. And so I like came in here and I was like, Aaron, my friend has this disease called sudden death syndrome, let's write a song about this. Like, so we wrote Take Another, which is, you know, take another heartbeat, So obviously it's about that, something very quite literal, but you know, the idea of it, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, the idea of taking someone's heart can be not so literal.
Yeah, it can be quite multifaceted.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you even came up with that lyric and then explained it to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a while ago. But, so that was one of those things, I was like, oh, take another breath, take another heartbeat. And I was like, that's a really cool lyric, you know? It can be, you know, just about, like, living life and experiencing things and, like, making the most of it. And you're like, yeah, but it's actually about somebody who doesn't know when the next heartbeat, you know, if the next heartbeat will actually happen. Yeah. I was like, that's really, really powerful. It's really cool.
Dark.
Yeah, it's really trippy, though. Yeah. You know, I was quite struck by the title track. There's this eerie vibe to it, but also a very slick vibe as well. What was it like to work on this song?
Silver and Gold came really naturally. Yeah. Like, that was one of the first songs that we wrote here during that 2-week window where we hold up, and it just came together, like, lyrics and melody. I feel like we really didn't change too much about that.
Yeah, that one happened very naturally. I mean, I think what happened was we were probably, I mean, it was kind of early on when I started messing with modular synthesizers, and so I just sort of programmed a drum beat and then had this sort of droney bass line, modular bass line, and I think, you know, I sort of did a performance of that, basically.
Yeah.
And that just ended up being basic, most of the track, and then you immediately heard some lyrics over the top of that, right?
Yeah, we went a little back and forth on so the lyric is silver and gold, the diamonds are in here.
Oh, that's
so
right.
We went
a little
back and forth about, like, whether or not diamonds are in here made sense, but we ended up sticking with it.
Yeah, it's just the first impulse lyric.
And Trees is a tune that has such a poignancy in the words, but the instrumentation is quite sparse, and there's a lot of space that's allowed, which I thought was very interesting, where sometimes I feel like you'll hear a track from other groups and musicians and you almost feel like they're trying to fill in as much space as they can. It's really refreshing when you hear musicians allow space to be within there. Would you say that was kind of a deliberate choice in regards to that tune?
I definitely think we were trying to I felt like the lyric just carried it in the melody, so it didn't need a ton of instrumentation to support it.
Yeah.
It just felt like...
It just felt good the entire time we made that song. And that was another one that we wrote
in
really quickly.
One,
and it was just, this is it, you know? Like, the lyrics, the melody.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite songs are the ones that happen the easiest.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, it sort of came out musically, it came out lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, cool, let's not mess with something that's good, you know? Like, some of the songs we poked at for a long time, and they turned out really good because of that.
Sure.
But...
It was like a different approach.
Yeah.
We had, like, the ones that came easily, and then the ones that were actual work.
Do you guys feel like that's achieved through conversation, when you realize what a melody and a lyric needs to be carried, or do you feel that's almost subconscious at this point?
Oh, it's just like, is this good? Yeah, it's good. Cool. Are you happy? Yeah, I'm happy. You know, I feel like, right? That's,
pretty much not overthinking it.
No, I mean, that's the conversation. You know, I mean, some songs absolutely get overthought, and some songs we've pretty much reworked like three times.
Yeah.
Basically ripped them apart, you know, kept one or two elements and did new instrumentation, new melody, new lyrics. And that worked out for some songs, but
that track called That Guy was a totally different song, totally different. We actually even mixed it.
Yeah.
And then we were like, you know what? This just isn't right. Like,
really?
And so I was like, send me the track without the melody. And so I just like reworked it, and it was like a totally different song after that with a different title.
Yeah. And then after that, I redid the instrumentation to fit
what you did.
We wrote a new outro for that.
That's right.
Yeah, got rid of the make a new bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, like an outro became a bridge, and then a new outro got written. And
we should release that, like the original.
I think the way it ended up was much better.
Right, did you?
Another standout tune was Charity. How did that song come together? Because I feel like that must have a pretty interesting story.
Again, a natural event. Yeah, a friend of mine, Chris White, sort of a longtime collaborator, we used to play music together in New Zealand. He lives in the UK, and he's a film composer, a TV composer, and I was on a SoundCloud one day just sort of checking out some of his work, and I heard this, actually I was in the car driving, and I heard this chord progression, the piano chord progression that starts the song, or is the song. And I was like, that's amazing. And I messaged him, I was like, do you mind if I like take this chord progression and sample it? He was like, go for it. So I took the piano chords and programmed drums to that and reimagined a bridge. And but the basic meat of that song is just from something he'd written for a TV show.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just loved the sound of the piano, so we didn't re-record any of that. It was just a sample.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so he's a co-writer on that one.
And Jackie, what do you think about that when you heard that for the first time?
I loved it. I mean, I really love Chris's work. I mean, I, in particular, I love, like, any cinematography compositions. Like, that's very much where my ear goes naturally, so it was really nice to be able to write to something like that. We didn't have a ballad at the time, so yeah. I think it was good.
It was definitely a little mellow on the record as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that one, again, I think I sent you a basic track.
Yeah.
And you immediately came back with lyrics.
Really?
Yeah, you like came back pretty quick, and you was like, here's something. I was like, that's great. That's totally good. What I imagined happening. And then,
we both love FKA Twigs a lot, so yeah. She was definitely like a reference point for that one.
Yeah, that's good. Norman Hollis version of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally. And then Chris has also got really into flying drones, and he lives in the south of England.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, are you interested in just using some of this drone footage to make a video for us for the song?
Yeah.
And so he was like, sure. And then like, for, you know, like within a week, he sent back a first cut of him flying these drones across the ocean and the south of England and across the countryside, just like sort of epic shots. So it was really nice to have him involved on the visual side of that song as well as the musical side. So he's very involved in that one.
I wonder, because like as we talked about this album just for the past couple of minutes, it seems like throughout the most experience of them were pretty seamless in a lot of ways, pretty easygoing. I wonder, is there like, what would you say is probably the experience you had making this album that was the most fulfilling for you both?
I mean, I love to write. That's like my happy spot, you know? Like, I could kind of do away without the performance and all of that stuff. Like, I just want to write all the time. So like anytime that we were able to just really fully dedicate our time, like that's when I felt most fulfilled. I think definitely like laying some of the vocals down too, I felt like I grew as an artist, so I think definitely I felt more fulfilled there too.
Yeah, I think the voyage of discovery is the part of, you know, music which is exciting, and I felt like again we could do that with this record, is pushing ourselves. You know, we did the first round of songs and that was great. It's like, okay, let's not try not to repeat ourselves in the way we wrote, or you know, try to do some different things instrumentally or musically that push ourselves along. And for me, that's the funnest part, is trying to not repeat yourself and trying to do something better, or challenging yourself to like question whether something's as good as it can be.
Yeah.
You know, on the bio for the project, Jackie, there's something that stuck out to me a lot. I read how you find music to be the most inclusive art form, and I'd love to hear what you meant by that, because I feel like that's very significant and poignant. I think you probably have a lot of things to say about that.
I always have a lot of things to say.
That's good.
So, I mean, I think, you know, with dance, I mean, I love dance so much. Dance, you know, only certain people bodies really can do it, you know, or not everybody really fully enjoys it. Singing just in and of itself, I think, you know, it's sometimes a skill, you know. So I think like all of these, you know, art forms independently can be very it's easier to do either by themselves or I think also just there's just something about music in general that I think just invites everybody in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not, I want people to be able to dance when they listen to this, cry, you know, have, you know, as many different emotions as possible. And I think that we really try to make music that really represents us as people and that we are inclusive people. So,
And also I think part of just the process of the creative process as well is by nature inclusive, hopefully, you know, unless you're sitting there by yourself making the music, then, you know, we're collaborating with each other, but we're also collaborating with Chris White. We also did another track with a friend of ours, Chris Hunt, who,
everyone's name's Chris with our co-writers.
Exactly, he'd sent us something that we worked into the track called Hubberal. So it's great to just be able to draw different people in, maybe from different worlds, you know, and have their, you know, inclusion in the project. And my friend, John Davis, who's my partner in the studio, like mixed a bunch of the record with us. So it was, again, great to be able to include him in the process to get some different perspectives. And I think, you know, obviously bringing in different perspectives into the music hopefully means that it touches more people when it goes out to the world as well. So it can be more, you know, relevant to more viewpoints.
Yeah, before I let you guys go, there's something I really want to ask about in regards to the city that we're in, New York City. I mean, particularly Astoria right now, but New York City as a whole. I mean, I'm always fascinated when people make what the role location plays in records that people make. And we touched upon politics earlier and, like, going through day-to-day. I wonder if you feel like the city played any role within the creation of this album, or was it maybe a reaction, not necessarily a reaction, but do you feel like the city inspired you anyway, just being here, or maybe it was like the opposite of that?
So much of the lyrics were based off of experiences in California. So like the West really came through for me in particular for this record. You know, that being said, like Take Another, you know, I feel like it has that like disco New York City nightlife feel to it, you know, that, so I think for sure. I mean, the city is just inspiring in general, you know?
I think everything is informed by living here, you know. Obviously, like, you're in contact with so much other great music and creative people at all times that you're always, like you say, inspired, challenged. Your ears are always opened up to new ideas, and, you know, even just physically, like, sort of sitting in this room for the process, looking out the window at New York and the apartment buildings, I think that's gonna wind its way in, and the sort of the dirtiness of New York has, I think, definitely gotten the record. Like, it's a different record than if we made it in LA, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for finding time to chat with me today. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Start to look at the sky. Grab the wheel from the night. You know that I will.